Turn in your New Testaments to Acts the 17th chapter. Acts chapter 17. We want to spend a few days with the Apostle Paul. We could go through a lot more of the book of Acts, but this will just give you a little bit of hint of what it would like to be, what it's like to be with the Apostle Paul. Having read about, as my great aunt used to say, some of the old-timey preachers and what they used to do and what they used to go through on horseback, walking, carrying their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes in a bag to keep them dry because they'd have to swim rivers to get to their preaching appointment, walking for hours on the Lord's Day to get through and through animal-infested and sometimes Indian-infested country. But they went to preach, and they got it done. And because of great men like them who gained the ground that you and I are now able to worship God, and we need to be thankful to God for the country in which we live that allows us this opportunity. We'll talk more about our country later. I'm not sure when it'll be, Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever it will be, but probably Tuesday we'll talk about our nation and where we are headed, where we came from and where we are going. And if we continue in this vein, it's not a pretty picture what's going to happen to us. But we'll talk more about that later. As we look at the Apostle Paul, just look back in chapter 16 to kind of introduce ourselves to chapter 17. We meet young Timothy there, Timotheus. And to follow around with Paul like Silas did and Luke did, as Luke records this history here, it took a lot of courage. It wasn't driving a few miles with a fellow to listen to him preach, because they were in danger. The Jews that they were talking to were men that would kill them. The Jews were the religious people of the day, and that has not changed. Lives have been threatened even in our day. Phone calls have been made at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, threatening letters. One preacher my brother debated before an audience of about 500 people. He said, "Mr. Hafley, within 60 days, something real bad's going to happen to you." My brother had a daily radio program. He did a 60, 59, 58, 57 countdown. I was there on when there was 18 days left to the countdown. Would you want to have lived with that? Somebody who's willing to make the threat might be willing to carry it out. Well, that did not stop the Apostle Paul, the threatenings, the beatings, all that he went through. He continued to preach the gospel. "I do not bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, and neither do you. Would you, if it were necessary?" And I think that if we preached like they preached, we might be bearing in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus. We need to get down to the brass tacks and recognize how blessed we really are to have the comfort that we have. As we said this morning in our Bible study, even padded pews, they didn't have that. And every place in this country or in this world does not have this. Some places, many places, do not have air conditioning. They do not have heating as we have. They're not blessed to have walls around them or a roof over their head when they come to worship, and they have walked for miles to get to their worship place. It's still true in some places in this world. And this is what Paul and Silas and others had to endure. And as we meet young Timothy, we know about him and how he followed Paul and his missionary journeys. Hear about the Macedonian call. We even sing about that song, "Send the Light, Send the Light." We have heard the Macedonian call today, and I wonder, have we? How many of us are hearing that call to teach others that are around about us, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our associates, even those with whom we come in contact, whether it's the clerk at the Walmart store that we might constantly run into, or wherever you might shop? Do you ever think about a track in the rack in the back? What good are they doing back there? I've opened some tracks in some church buildings, and the staples are rusted. They've been there so long, the paper is turning yellow, and I thought for a while it might be the Declaration of Independence. They're not doing a whole lot of people any good in those racks. How about when you go to a restaurant, that you take those tracks concerning the church, you give a tip to the waitress? How about putting that tip in that track? You know, they're just going to throw it away. You don't know that. You don't know that. You have become judge, jury, and executioner with that waitress. True, they may throw it away. But also true, they may, she may, or he may take it home and read it. Leave your name and address in there. And your phone number.
Oh, but they might call me Brother Hafley. I want them to call Brother Cox.
You know what that'll make you do? You have the idea somebody might call you and have some Bible questions. That'll make you sit up late and keep your book before you. That's what that'll make you do. We need to get back to the time when God's people were walking Bibles. That used to be the way it was. That's what they were back then, but they said, you say, well, they got it by inspiration, what we get by perspiration. How many of you sweat when you study? Unless you're studying out in the sun. We are so blessed. And as we read how the church got started in the brave men and women that it took, in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, they went everywhere preaching. Why did they go? Because they were being scattered abroad. Jesus said this was going to happen to you, Matthew chapter 5, 10 through 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. We're afraid of that. We're afraid of somebody saying something bad about it. We must be doing something wrong. No. They did it to Jesus. They did it to Peter. They did it to Paul. And they'll do it to us. Let them have it. They need to know we are not afraid and we are not going to be quiet. We're going to keep marching on as they marched on. Paul and Silas met Lydia, the seller of purple, down by the riverbank because they found some people that were where prayer was wont to be made. And that's where we need to go, where religious people are. At home, we go to the Methodist revivals. They don't have many of them anymore. And they don't advertise them, and they're certainly not going to send their advertisements to us, but they will advertise on their little sign out front that they're having a revival. And so we go, and we try to tear up their playhouse, and they don't like to see us coming. The Baptists are mad at us. They are so mad at us, they wouldn't come to the debate that we had a few years ago. They put on their sign, we have nothing to do with the debate. They're afraid of it, and I told their preacher, I said, I wouldn't come either. If I was afraid as you are, of exposing your members to the truth. We need a little bit of holy boldness, don't we? We need to walk our talk, not just here in these four walls, but we need to sick them. We need to go after them. And everywhere Paul went, he was either creating a church or a riot or both. We can fill these empty places. We at home need to get busier. We need to be baptizing more people. And they are out there. You know what Jesus said? The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And who are the laborers? But us. Are we going? They're not coming here, are they? Back when I was a little boy in Kentucky, the Methodists and the Baptists used to come to our gospel meetings. And we used to call them revivals too. So somebody said, what is a revival? Resurrection from the dead. And some churches are there already. They need a resurrection from the dead. We need a revival. We need to be woken up. We need to come to life again and go after these people. Is the harvest white? Are the laborers few? Shake your head this way. We need to step up to the lick log and admit, yes, sir, I've not been doing my job. I've not been looking. I've not been seeking because we don't want to disturb our neighbors. Yes, we do. And you won't have to say, I'm going to make an enemy out of you. It just will happen. Human nature has not changed. Did Jesus go into the synagogues to try to make enemies? You know it's going to happen. They don't want to see you coming anymore. And they're going to tell people how bad you are. And that the Church of Christ doesn't believe in music. In Salem, Ohio, the Trinity Lutheran preacher, he said the Church of Christ people don't have radios in their cars. They don't have them in their homes because they don't believe in music. You see, to make the truth look bad, you have to lie about it. So they don't believe in wearing jewelry. They don't believe in wearing earrings. They don't believe... We were studying with a young boy from that church, and that's how I know these things, because he sat there and heard it. He said, I knew that was a lie. But when you expose the gospel laser light on error, Oh, you don't have to lie about it. You say the Baptists believe he that believeth is saved and then he can get baptized later? Is that what the Bible says? Shake your head this way. No. Is that what Jesus said? He that believeth is saved and then... He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. The Baptist preacher we debated said he looked at the chart, had Acts 22:16 on the chart. Great big bold letters. He said there's not a drop of water in Acts 22:16. Those were his words. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. What? No water? See where you have to go when you don't have the truth? But you have the truth. Somebody said we need to use our weapons. What are they? Our axe and our 2.38s. Yes. Don't be afraid to... Oh, you know they're going to make fun of that. Yes, they will. But don't let that stop you. It still says that, and it'll say that on the day of judgment. Do you think Paul went preaching to Lydia, the seller of purple here in Acts 16? Do you think he said, well, I know you ain't going to like this, but... No, he taught the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's what we want in our courtrooms, don't we? If you're on trial, do you want somebody up there lying about you? No, you want them to tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's why Paul said there, or David said, I hate every false way. God's word was his light. Therefore, I hate every false way. The blind lead the blind. They both fall into the ditch. Are there a lot of church buildings we mentioned a while ago in our class? Yes, all around us. Are they hearing and believing the truth? No, they are not. They are lost. And we are leaving them alone, should we? Paul went and he preached to them. In verse 16 of chapter 16, they met this lady that was had an evil spirit, making her owners great gain because of her fortune telling. And Paul healed them. And because of that, they were put in jail. And they were beaten, the Bible says, with many stripes. There's bearing in your body the marks. Would you have come here today if you had that danger? Somebody sitting up on the street taking pictures, taking names, license plates, numbers. Well, you know, I'm coming down with something. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it today. Or if your preacher had been beaten or put in jail. We got a jailbird for a preacher. What for? Breaking the law? No. But you know what happened in that same context? Put in jail, beaten. The doors opened to that prison due to the earthquake. You ever put yourself in the shoes of that jailer, the Philippian jailer? You wake up and the prison doors are opened and your prisoners are gone. That's why he was going to, as one boy said, he's going to slit his throat. He's going to kill himself. Or he was going to die tomorrow because his prisoners escaped. He said, I'm not going to have the humiliation. I'm going to die right here. Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Did Paul talk to that man? Yes, he did. What must I do to be saved? And you know what Paul said? In verse 30, he said, what must I do? People say today, do. You don't have to do anything because Jesus paid it all. You don't have to do anything. That's strange. Because verse 31 said, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe only. Faith only, James 2:24, you need to put that passage by verse 31. Not by faith only. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. No, sir. But do the Baptists teach it anyway? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Oh, Brother Hafley, there you go, condemning again, negative preaching. What would Paul have said? They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. When did the rejoicing go on? Before he's baptized or after? After. Like the eunuch in chapter 8, went on his way rejoicing. That's when he was saved. That's when he had died to his sins, buried in baptism, arising, Romans 6, 3 and 4, to walk in newness of life after the baptism and not before. And on we could go. But Paul establishes a church there because he writes a letter to them. Just because of this trip here, gets it done. Then, chapter 17, there's more, but we need to jump into chapter 17. Now he says, when Luke records, because he didn't go with them, he says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Do you know why he skipped through Amphipolis and Apollonia? I thought, Paul, why didn't you stay there? Verse 1 tells you. He goes to Thessalonica because there was a synagogue. There was not a synagogue in these other two places. And by the way, how are they traveling? They get in their comfortable Cadillac and ride? Walked. They walked from Philippi to Amphipolis, 33 miles. You know any place 33 miles from here you want to walk this morning? Go. Huh? You really have to want to preach, you do that, wouldn't you? Philippi to Amphipolis, Amphipolis to Apollonia, another 30 miles there. Just a little brief hike. And then from Apollonia to Thessalonica, 37 miles. Wow. And when he got to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue there. And verse 2 says, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. And 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. 3 Sabbath days. Some of us older ones in here can remember 3 Sunday meetings. Began on a Sunday, went to the next Sunday, and went to the next Sunday. And sometimes they were protracted. They kept on going. Because the response was so great. You can't go home. It's just getting started. Or if that preacher had to leave, they'd get another one to come in and say, well, we're going. We're baptizing too many. We baptized 50-some the first week and 30-some the next week. Would you quit? Would you quit? Oh, well, no, not when you're seeing that happen. All of that rejoicing over so many obeying the gospel. And at times, do you know there were entire denominations that were converted to the truth? Because they didn't have Little League, they didn't have television, they didn't have all the games and gimmicks and stuff that we have to keep us away from services. They went, folks, and they heard. And the next day they went to the little store that where everybody congregated to buy their goods. And they talked about the Scriptures. My granddaddy and I used to go to the Gorley store down in Kentucky. And we were always there during a gospel meeting on our vacation. We always went to Kentucky during their gospel meeting. And they talk about scriptural things. About what they heard last night. Your preacher said, yes, he did, and here's why. Well, you know what, Mr. Hafley? My pastor never showed us that passage. He never showed us Mark 16 and verse 16. Any wonder? Because he doesn't believe it. He didn't show us Acts 2:38. Any wonder? He didn't show us 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Any wonder why? They told him, we didn't know that was in there. Well, shame on them for not studying their Bible. And a lot of people are just doing that. They're letting good old brother pastor what he says. Taking it for granted. And don't you do that. Don't you go to sleep. All right? So Paul, as his manner was, went into the synagogue and reasoned with them. He discussed, he talked with them about things that they needed to hear. Verse 3. Opening and alleging, verse 3. You see that? What does that mean? Acts 17, verse 3. Opening and alleging. Proving and explaining. When you get up to preach, you need to prove what you're saying. Explain it to the people. Don't our teachers do that to us in school? With math and science? They introduce you to it and then explain it to you? Yes, they do. And this is what Paul did in the synagogue of the Jews. What did he prove and explain? That Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. What had happened to this Christ fellow? They had killed him. they had gotten rid of him and his ilk. They didn't want any more to do with him because he was taking people away from them and teaching them a totally different doctrine than what they wanted. The scribes and the Pharisees, that is. So Paul took their very Old Testament scriptures and showed them that the Messiah that they were still waiting for, and Jews today are still waiting for that Messiah that the Jews back then were waiting for, and Paul says he's already come, and that the prophet said he must suffer and he must die. Go to Isaiah 53. Did he? David tells us the same thing, and others as well. So he proved and explained, look here, read it, it's there, that he must die and rise again from the dead. And this one I preach unto you is the Christ. And look what happened in verse 4 when the truth is preached to people. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. And when the Bible says not a few, it means a whole bunch. Okay? So he's making inroads already. People are consorting, being with him, staying with him because they're reading. Yes, sir, that's what the prophet said. And all this stuff that our Pharisee leaders are telling us, they're not showing us these passages. They're telling us this Messiah is still yet to come and that he's going to give us an earthly king and an earthly kingdom. We're going to be like Saul and David and Solomon. We're going to be the rulers, not the Romans. That's what we want. And that's what a lot of people are looking forward to today. An earthly king. When Jesus comes back, they say he's coming back to earth to reign on earth 1,000 years, like Saul, like David, like Solomon. Is that the truth? Shall we say, yeah, I'll go ahead and believe that. That's all right. No, that's not all right. That's not the truth. And Paul opened them and exposed them to the truth. And I want to tell you, you will convert people out of denominationalism. And you know what? They'll be here Sunday morning for Bible class. They'll be here Sunday night. They'll be here Wednesday night. They'll be here every night of the gospel meeting. Every time the doors open, because as the song says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Thank God somebody taught me the truth. And they're going to go back after. We've just converted a couple. They're in their 40s. And they're going back after their denominational friends. They've already been disappointed because the couple they thought, oh, I know they'll come. No, sir, not. It says Church of Christ on that sign. Bad news. They're not going there. Already been disappointed. But you know what they did? They didn't give up. They're going back for more. They're our best personal workers. That's what you'll find. You get them out of there, they're in a burning house. They didn't realize it. Their ship was sinking and they didn't know it. And then they began to read. And their pastor will not answer their questions. You know why? Because he can't. He has no weapons. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Why? That we may be able to take a stand, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, he says. Wow. Take the sword of the Spirit. You know what a sword does? The Muslims know. And the countries they're taking over, the people they're taking, they use it. We have a sword. It is an offensive weapon. It's a powerful weapon, Hebrew writer says, 4 and verse 12. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And we've got power in here. It's the dynamite of God, Paul says, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the dynamite of God. That's the word. It'll blow you out of a denomination and right into the truth. It will rescue, Paul says, I think, Colossians 1 about verse 12 or 13. Rescue from the power of darkness and put you into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's what. And you know when you convert somebody like that, you'll say, oh, I'm done now. I'm not going after anyone. No, you won't. You'll be saying, next. Who's next? That's where you'll go. That's what you'll do. That's what. You think Paul wasn't on fire? Beating's not going to put him out. Prison's not going to put him out. And even while they were in prison in Acts 16, what did they do? At midnight, after being beaten and put into the stocks, not comfortable, not a couch, not a bed, chains on them, they sang praises. Yes, you will make progress, but I want you to know what verse 5 begin with. After the progress of verse 4, verse 5 says, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." That is Paul and Silas. They went after the chiefs. Again, on the old Western movies, when the wagons were going west and the Indians would come, they'd circle the wagons. And who would they want to shoot first? The chief. Shoot the chief. And then they'll all scatter. Kill Paul, kill Silas, and these other rabble-rousers, they'll scatter. You get the leaders, and that's what they were looking for. They weren't looking to take them to King's Island, folks. No, sir. These were men that would kill you at any opportunity. So they hire these certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. See what you're going to be dealing with? And these are the religious. Oh, religious people wouldn't work that way. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, not today. Oh, yes, they do. You walk. Oh, they just love the Lord so much. You back them in a corner when they have no response. Look out. Look out. All their lovey-dovey pudding, sweet pudding, it'll go out the window. And their horns and their fangs will come out. Just be aware. Oh, I didn't know that would happen. Yes, you are aware now. And sometimes we're aware that, well, we don't want to cause any trouble. One member of the church, we had a 5-minute radio program years ago in another city. Every morning between... it was in a farm community. It was between the Agricultural Report and Fibber McGee and Molly. Best slot in the world, if you know who Fibber McGee and Molly are, comedians anyway. And we had the best slot. And one of our members who worked at IBM, the big plant in the area, he said, "Brother Haveley, I wish you'd talk on the home and the family." He said, "You're upsetting some of these people I work with." And I'm thinking, good. He said, I have to work with these people, so kind of, go to Proverbs or something. Don't get all this doctrinal stuff, because they don't like what you say. And he was whitewashing or blackballing the truth, maybe. Oh, that's just our preacher. You know him. Instead of saying, well, what did he say that was wrong? Did he pervert the passage? No, he was with them. He wanted me to back off. But when people get excited and they started studying, and yes, they're going to get angry. And if they're honest and good heart, they will come to the truth. Do you want to back people into the church? Some people taking Church of Christ off the sign. They don't want people to know who we are. Just the church. Just put the church. Because you say, of Christ. Oh, bad. Don't do that. That's what's happening, folks. Did Paul do that? Did he try to hide the gospel? Look at what those Jews did in verse 5 and verse 6. "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.'" That was meant to be a slam. That was meant to be a cut. Turning the world upside down. How are we doing? Are we turning the world upside down, or are we leaving it alone? Because as we said, they're not coming here. They may see gospel meeting on the sign. They may read it in the newspaper. They may see your advertisement or whatever. Are they flocking here tomorrow night? Will there be a bunch of people from denominations come? Same's true at home. Now, if you'd have put chili supper Monday night, now you're talking. And you know, we could clean out these chairs and put a kitchen over here. I've been in these churches where the kitchen's in the basement and the air flows up from the basement. Oh, it's hard for me to keep my mind on what that woman preacher was saying. I smell the ham. I smell the donuts. I smell the coffee. That's how they drew people. You get rid of the food and they're gone. Some fellow said, if you get them there with tea and ice cream and chicken, they'll be as weak as the tea and as cold as the ice cream and as dead as the chicken. You stop feeding them, they're gone. They're gone. One fellow went to the Baptist church, he said, because he said, I have to go twice a month so I can play on their softball team. Oh, well, let's get us a softball team. Let us get us a kitchen. Let us have a chili supper. Is that how we get people? No, Paul said it was through the gospel. Did he entertain them? No, he taught them the gospel and people didn't like it. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. And then they let Jason go because they couldn't find Paul and Silas. They posted bond and they let him go. And verse 10 says, and immediately the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Why by night? Because these Jews were going to kill them. They wanted to do harm. Went unto Berea. By the way, another 60-mile hike. By night, running for your life. City of a population of about 18 to 20,000. And where does the verse 10 say? They went into the synagogue of the Jews. I'm thinking if I'm with Paul, I might be grabbing hold of his coattail and say, excuse me, sir. You know, we just came from Thessalonica. And you know what they did to us there? And you want to go to another synagogue? Yes, I do. Verse 11, you know this familiar passage. These are more noble. I think one version says more eager. More eager than those in Thessalonica, those at Berea, in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures monthly. What? Daily. Whether those things were so. I'm telling you, when you start teaching somebody and they go home and they study what you taught them. Yes. You know Max Dawson? He came from Indiana about 100 years ago. He used to work at the Chevy plant there and he worked with a fellow by the name of Jerry Hall. And Jerry started talking to Max, who was a Baptist at the time. And Max said, I called him my pastor, and my pastor says, oh, that's Church of Christ, I can tell. That fellow you're working with, he goes to Church of Christ. He said, don't listen to him. Max said, my pastor couldn't give me answers, couldn't give me scripture. And he said, tomorrow I had to go face Jerry at work. He said, I'd see Jerry coming a long way down the hall. He said, I'd duck in a door. I didn't want to go in there. I just had to get out of his way. I didn't want to talk to him. He said his pride was in his way. No answers. He said, but I was studying. And slowly but surely began to see where I am, where I was, is not what's right. He came to himself like the prodigal son and began to preach the gospel. What if Jerry had left him alone? What if? And that story could be duplicated over and over and over. Jeff Smith, Whitmont, came from Payton City, where I live. Brian Price, high school friend, taught him the truth. Jeff's now preaching. You think it can't happen? You think you can't do it? Think again. The gospel is still the power of God, and there are still people who are wanting to hear it, wanting to believe it, and wanting to go to heaven when they die. And they will search the scriptures daily, whether the things they hear are so. Look what happens in verse 12. When you find somebody like that, Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And when it says not a few, what does it mean? A whole bunch. Then last of all, verse 13, I wish we had time to go through the rest of the chapter. Paul doesn't quit there. He goes on to Athens, but we'll stop here. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. The hit dog was hollering, wasn't it? They traveled, the Jews of Thessalonica came all the way 60 miles to Berea to shut him up. Turn them, oh, you can't believe, you know what the church cried, you got to get ducked. That's how they say it. You got to get ducked. They think you got to get ducked. They're going to make fun of you. That's how they talk about baptism. You got to get ducked to go to heaven. You don't have to do that. I just tell you, I've been to their services, and they say, bow your head and close your eyes, say this little prayer. And you know what they told us to do one time? They said, all of you that are saved, bow your head and close your eyes, and the rest of you, raise your hands. See, those that are saved can't see who the lost are. I sneaked a peek. There was about 17 or so raised their hands that they hadn't been saved. He said, you say this little prayer with me. And this is one of those things, if it wasn't so serious, it'd be funny. Those people said that little prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and so on. You know what he told them? He said, you're saved now. Were they? They believed they were. Like Jacob believed his beloved son Joseph was dead for 22 years. Believed a lie. Those people are going to believe a lie till they die. And then they wake up, their soul in torment because of a false teacher. Don't let them slip through your fingers, those that you know. Some of our best personal workers are our young people. They bring their friends. We're going to baptize a young fellow when I get home, the Lord willing. I just know. He's so close. 19 years old. He's going to obey the gospel. I know it. I see it. And he will. And you all can do that. We just need encouragement to do it and to look out. All of us are eyes looking for these souls. And when somebody brings somebody that is a visitor, don't act like they have leprosy. You know, oh, it's just somebody from another congregation. You don't know that. You don't know that, do you? Go introduce yourself. Just say, hi, my name is... We're glad to have you here. And we want you to come back. Now, they may tell you, well, I go to church somewhere. Or they may be thinking, boy, that was a warm welcome. They want me to come back. They were sincere. That's how it works. One at a time. One at a time. And you know what? They'll be here. Like you're here, they'll be here. They'll want to be here. And they'll beat you here. Yes, sir. That's the way it ought to be. We could go to Athens with Paul, but you can read that. You can read what he faced there about the unknown God. That's the God we want to tell people about. That's the one he told them about. He told the Jews what they needed to hear. He told those heathen at Athens who were idol worshipers what they needed to hear. And that's what we need to tell people. Let the chips fall where they may. If they are not converted, don't blame it on yourself. Blame it on their heart. Yes, we must pray. Every time I go to a Bible study, God, help me to have the right attitude. If things get heated, if somebody gets angry, don't let me follow. Okay? It may happen. I've had Bibles slammed down. I've been ordered out of houses. Okay. We have to shake the dust off of our feet sometime. But you keep your good attitude. They may call you back and they may say, I'm sorry I got upset. But I saw what you said was the truth. And I couldn't handle it. And I saw how you handled what I did. And you handled it. Won't you come back tomorrow and we'll finish our study? Oh. Wow. It can happen to you. And when it does, you'll look for number two and number three and number five, and on it goes. And these empty spaces, wouldn't it be bad to have a parking problem? Give the elders a parking problem. Oh, they're just going to hate that. We have to set up chairs again. Good. Good. We had to open it. They're there if we go. A few days with Paul. You watch basketball. If you like to play basketball, you want to play basketball. Baseball, whatever. You watch Paula Deen. You want to go eat. You want to teach somebody. That's what you'll do. You get full of the gospel. You're like the little tea pitcher, short and stout, tip me over. You're going to spill the gospel all over people. How'd you get them? I just kept my eyes open. Be alert. You can do it. This congregation can do it. Work, as we said last night, as a team. Work as a team. We close again. We'll offer the invitation till we die. In case there is some individual in this or more, this audience that wants to obey the gospel, to become a child of God and to begin that battle, to fight the good fight of faith, to be baptized into Christ as the Bible commands, to walk with Him in newness of life as the Bible tells us it happens. You can begin that road right now as we stand and as we sing. Won't you come? Oh.